There are many like it, but this one reveals faults. What the? This is cool. No shape-shifting.
Wait.
I am not into that.
Oh. Who is that that's going, oh, at the end? Who is that?
It's Malfurion.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, because it's husband. Oh, Taronda, that whole thing. I forgot.
Yeah.
She says no shape-shifting. She's not into it. And Malfurion's like, but my fantasies.
Oh, man. Yeah.
He wants to change into a moonkin.
This is what happens. This is what happens when, you know, my whole thing with like when people protest too much, it usually means there's something fishy going on. The deal with Malfurion, he's such a tree prophet, right? He's always out there in the woods going, oh, look at the nature. And he's just so like stalwart and serious and forthright that, you know, at home with Taronda, things are getting a little weird.
Yeah, apparently a little too weird even for her.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. Anyway, that was awesome. And as always, this is Core, the Heroes of the Storm podcast that you love listening to on Tuesdays. We're here doing it live. It's the 19th of September, and it is the year 2017 with Beau Schwartz, John Jagger, and myself, Scott Johnson, and we are happy to be here. Now, let's dive right freaking into it. Between the last time we spoke and now, big announcements happened. And they were across the board kind of crazy. In fact, inadvertently, the rumor about Deathwing finally came true in a way. So it took a long time for that to happen, but it actually kind of happened. We'll get to that in a minute, but let's talk about the big stuff. Friday, Blizzard announced a whole bunch of new things, including two new characters. They are from the Overwatch universe. I feel like my prediction came true about Overwatch, an Overwatch focus, literally two in a row. Bunch of skins that are Overwatch focused and a brand new map that is completely Overwatch focused. Not terribly surprising, but a little surprising that it's like another Overwatch event, basically, is what it feels like in some ways. But anyway, so we got Ana. She's the old lady mom coming back, you know, with the sniper healing and whatnot. So she's in there, which is interesting because she's a relatively new Overwatch hero. And she beat a lot of founding Overwatch heroes to the Heroes Nexus, which is interesting. Anyway, she's coming first. At least we think, well, I think now we know she's coming first because she's on the PTR and Junkrat is not. But Junkrat was number two announced. Volskaya Foundry is the map. It's based on the Volskaya Industries map and world and lore and stuff that you saw in that map in Overwatch. And they put out a development video for both the map and for her character so far. We don't know anything about Junkrat still in terms of what his role will be, what they'll label him as, what his abilities or kit are. We don't know any of that stuff yet, but I couldn't be more excited about that dude. So that's all coming. I guess what I want to do here real quick is just tap John specifically. I just want to tap you a little bit. Maybe this is a Dear Martha opportunity. I don't know, but I want to find out from you where your head's at with this, because for good or for ill, Overwatch is the golden child of Blizzard right now, right? It's like the hot business. Everybody's playing it. It's got their most focus, certainly. It's a big deal. And you've made jokes here and there about BlizzCon items. Now they're all Overwatch-like, and it's all been very fun and whatever. But this is really striking at the heart of your issue. It's like one of your favorite video games that Blizzard makes, Heroes of the Storm, is once again being invaded by the popular shooter that they can't stop talking about. Where's your head on it? I just want to know how you feel.
I mean, it's good overall, I would say. It is. So I always make the joke, and I've told you guys about it. It's becoming more public, my opinions on this, as it leaks out onto different shows. But I said every time Jeff Kaplan farts, they write a news article about it. And in the meantime, no matter what Heroes of the Storm does, nobody says a word. Nothing. It's just like, hey, guys, we're putting in Kel'Thuzad. Crickets.
Yeah.
And it always kind of bugged me. And it's not that I hate Overwatch. It's just that I feel there's maybe a level of attention and focus there that I find a little unfair and uneven, and maybe even a little undeserved.
Okay. You're not wrong. I was, browsing my RSS feeds over on Feedly because I can't access gaming sites directly at my job. So I use this Feedly thing, and I'm looking at the regular gaming sites, the ones that don't talk about Heroes that much. And Kotaku, of all things, nothing about Anna, nothing about Junkrat. Article about, hey, there's a Deathwing skin for D.Va in Heroes, and it's awesome. And I'm like, that's all you're going to take away from this?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, is like, when they do write articles, which they are now doing, it's, hey guys, two more Overwatch characters are in Heroes of the Storm. Hey guys, D.Va's got a Deathwing skin, and people like it. Maybe it'll come to Overwatch. Like, that seems to be the focus so often. So I'm of mixed feelings. Like, on one hand, I'm glad we're getting some articles. We're getting some attention. You know, this brings the Overwatch fans over to Heroes to check things out and play some games and hopefully stick around. And I think that's all good and positive stuff for the game. But it has only reinforced my weird, like, hey guys, we made a fun cosplay game that's very popular and it gets all the attention, and Heroes of the Storm doesn't get any of it, like, kind of bias that goes on in my head. But overall I think it's good.
Okay. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. I think I like Overwatch more than you two do. I'm not sure. I mean, we all enjoy it on whatever level we enjoy it, but I go back there probably more often than the three of us. I really enjoy it. I played a bunch of Deathmatch today. I'm convinced that that mode should be up front and center and right alongside things like Quick Match and Competitive, because I think it's that strong of a mode. It's really good. Takes me back to my Quake days in a pretty special way. I put up a video today of me not dominating a match, but eking one out that felt really good. Not only won a match, but got play of the game in that match. And it has... there's a very special appeal to that game, especially somebody who's been playing shooters for a very long time. In a lot of ways, Overwatch is the culmination of all the shooters I played in the 90s right up till today. And so on that level, I understand why it's taken the world by storm. I understand why it's important for them to maximize what's working the best. And Heroes is interesting because it's doing what it's supposed to be doing. It's just sort of doing it without the fanfare. We give it fanfare. Other shows give it fanfare. The community at large gives it fanfare. The HTC is a big deal. Like, it's not like it's being ignored. It's not that. It's just that it's not... during the WoW's heyday, WoW was up front and center all the time. When Diablo 3 was launched, that's all they could talk about. When Heroes was launched, it was talked about a little bit. And then Overwatch came out and everybody talked about Overwatch. It's like it just kind of got the stepchild treatment a little bit. At least that's the impression. Now, you know... whatever. Internally, it's probably a very different impression. Who knows? But my takeaway is I feel better about, well, after playing Anna today on the PTR, I really like her, by the way. She's great. We'll talk about her kit and stuff here in a minute. But it was enough for me to go, oh, all right. There is a level of diversity we get out of those characters. They bring things to the game, in other words, that some of the other people we might get out of Warcraft or might get out of Diablo don't necessarily lend themselves to. And I really like that the game allows for that. So I see it as primarily a positive thing, but it is easy to look at it and go, oh, well, you're just farming. You're farming the game that's got all the recognition right now so that you can piggyback on that recognition. And whether that's true or not, the perception is there. Right. And I've decided, I think I don't want to get... I don't want to be mad about that because I really like both those games and for what they do, or both of these games, and they both scratch very specific itches for me, and I don't want a Blizzard without them, and I don't want a Blizzard without whatever other weird shit they have in the future planned, but I think I need to start reminding myself that it's okay. It's okay for the newcomer to butt in a little bit. You know what I mean?
It doesn't have to be a Sega Genesis or Super Nintendo kind of deal. Like, we don't have to have one or the other. We can have both. Mm-hmm. And we can enjoy both. So I've got a weird little occasional, like, irk, like a little vein pops out in my head a little bit when some Overwatch business goes down. But the truth is, like, we can have both. I like both. There's never been a time that I played Overwatch and walked away from it going, oh, that game. Like, I've loved it every single time I've played it.
It's now, Heroes, just... on the other hand.
Well, actually, that's a good point, because I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
But there's a challenge there that I appreciate. Not to say now people are going to be like, John doesn't think Overwatch is challenging.
Yeah.
It isn't, really. But it's...
Well, it can be, you know.
It can be, depending on how much you want to get invested.
I mean, it is.
Umbrella, all that shade.
In the end of the day, or at the end of the day, whatever the phrase is, Overwatch is supposed to be a twitchy, quick fix kind of experience. And it is that. It's really good at doing that. And it makes all the others that try to do that seem not as good as it. So it is dominant for a reason in the shooter market. They came into it fresh. They'd never done one before. And now they completely freaking own it. Now, that isn't to say that, you know, Counter-Strike and other games aren't still succeeding and doing well. They all have their player bases. But it is very hard for games like Battleborn and... what's the new one? The Lawbreakers. Even Quake Champions. These are games with pedigrees and developers who have and designers who have made them, who go way back to the Quake and Doom days. Like, everything they should make should be the new standard. But what has happened is Blizzard, like they do, swooped in and stole the standard. And now everybody has to live up to that. CCG, same thing with Hearthstone. World of Warcraft, same thing with MMOs. And I would even say in Diablo's case, there are many good action RPGs, but Diablo still rules the roost. Heroes RTS is different.
Too. StarCraft is...
There you go. StarCraft as well for RTSs. But when it comes to MOBAs, it's a slightly different animal. It's not because it isn't better, because I know it's better. I know as a fact that Heroes of the Storm is a better MOBA than any other MOBA on the market. I know that in my heart of hearts, my soul of souls. But they came into a market with 100 million players playing League of Legends, some many million players already playing Dota 2, and they decided to take on that. Those levels of successes is not the same as them coming in and saying, we're making a shooter and things are a little bit quiet on competitive shooters right now, or we're making a competitive card game digitally, that things are a little quiet on that front. Like, in those cases, they were poised to take the number one spot. In this case, it's a mountain to get over to try to get through to those people. So, slow and steady wins the race is, I think, how they're playing their heroes cards. And I think the addition of Overwatch should only be seen as a way to help bolster that. So I'm going to see it in that positive way. I really like the way Ana feels and plays. I really like Tracer. I like D.Va. I like Lucio. I think all the implementations have been strong.
Yeah, I like most of them better in Heroes than I do in Overwatch.
Right.
And that's not me trying to dog on Overwatch more. I just genuinely, like, I think I enjoy the way they play in those games. Like, I could never get behind Zarya in Overwatch. She made no sense to me. Mm-hmm. Like, it never clicked. They put her in Heroes, boom, clicked instantly. And I was like, oh, I love this hero.
Sure. Yeah.
Oddly enough, made me better in Overwatch as her as well.
Well, sometimes bringing the camera out and looking down on it does change your perspective. Like, it made me, I could not play Tracer. You were always pretty good on Tracer and Overwatch, but I couldn't play Tracer in Overwatch to save my life. Really like her in Heroes. I now play more Tracer in Overwatch because I feel like I'm like, all right, I've seen it from the helicopter. Now let's do it on the ground.
Yeah.
And it's weird how it actually kind of feeds into that. So there is a genius to that crossover. They're also the two games under Blizzard's umbrella that actually kind of not fill the same need, but they can attract the same kind of intense player-on-player sort of focus. And I think they benefit each other in that way. So I'm not going to see any of this as a bad thing. All of that being said, anybody else play her today? Did we all try her out?
I played her yesterday just in try mode.
Okay. Oh, she was already up there yesterday. Oh, today's... Wait, I thought it was today. Was it last night?
PTR went live yesterday, yeah.
Oh, I missed that. All right. I just tried her today. Let's talk about her. So she's a support hero. She's pretty weird. She's doing stuff she doesn't do in Overwatch. Like her, and I can't remember if I got there because of a talent, so correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like her whole thing where if she is auto-attacking somebody, that speeds up over time?
No, that's a talent at 20.
Okay.
Oh, but man, does it go crazy at 20.
That's where it came from. I forgot I jacked it to 20 and it got there quick, obviously. So I was playing with level 20 talents. That is nuts. Like, genuinely scary. She will take people out if she's allowed to do that at that level. But I guess at level 20, things have gotten weird anyway. Anyway, I guess we can break it down and talk about what her deal is. Here's her trait. It's called, it's not called Shrink, is it?
Oh, sorry. It's called Shrike. I just misspelled it. Shrike.
Strike. Yeah, not Shrink.
Shrike.
Shrike.
Oh, Shrike.
Shrike?
Shrike.
Shrike.
Yeah.
Okay. You've misspelled a lot of these. I've noticed that. Here, I'd like to read them before we do them. The trait is Shrink. The Q is Healing Shart. W is Bionic Grande. Grande. E is Sleep Fart. R1 is Nano Poost. R2 is Eye of the Horus, spelled W-H-O-R-U-S.
Oh, I was in a rush when I put these down. Sorry, yeah,
clearly, Scott. I know. No, I none of these were.
I wasn't trying to make you read these live on the air.
They're better.
Intentionally, it was not intentional.
This is what we do.
Not a Ron Burgundy situation going on.
This is what we do on the show. We make up words and it's fine. But anyway, so Shrike. I thought it was Strike. Is it Shrike? Fine.
It is Shrike.
Okay. Explain to me what
Shrike that from the record.
What does Shrike do? What does it give me, Bo? What is that actually doing?
Anal polyps. That's what Shrike gives you. It doses. Hang on, I forget now.
Yeah, it gives doses, which is a poison over time ability. It stacks up to five.
That's right.
Yeah,
there you go.
It stacks, right? You see the little little symbols as they stack, and then they turn bright once they hit five, meaning you can't go any higher than that.
Right. So I think you can spread them around to multiple targets concurrently. So if your micro is pretty good, you could maybe shoot one guy, shoot another guy, shoot another guy, because it lasts a pretty long time. I think it's 5 seconds. So that's a pretty good amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the Shrike. They apply a dose to non-structure enemies. So it actually does get applied to creep or minion waves or monsters and stuff, but you don't see the symbols, I don't think. I didn't see any symbols, just over heroes.
Mm. Yeah, I like.
I don't
that
get the stacking. I assume it does more. It increases the dot by 44 damage for each stack. So it's a considerable amount if you get 5 stacks on someone.
Yeah, the trick is you can't move and shoot. You need to be stationary while taking those shots. But you can stutter step and fill them up. But I don't know. It feels like he exposes her a little bit if she's really trying hard to do that, especially if she picks a quest talent that requires a lot of those doses. But
yeah, and a lot of her talents actually modify or impact that in some way. I know when I was playing with her, I took the one that, first of all, where grenade gave you 2 stacks of it instantly, and then the other one where if you hit 5 stacks, the target just fell asleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. No, that's right. She has 3 choices of talents at the beginning of the thing that are all quest talents, and they're essentially one for your Q, one for your W, one for your E. And somebody told me she was super questing. I may not like her, but having messed around with her a little bit, I don't think so. Like, the problem with Thrall is he's got multiple quest talents at multiple levels, and I think that makes him convoluted. In her case, it's really just the first three picks you do, and they're all 3 pretty beneficial, and none of them are tasky to me. They don't feel like the ones where it's go get globes and shit like that. It's just do your job and you'll get, you know, the better you do at your job, the better reward you're going to get at the end of that job. So it's weird. All this complaining I've done about quests, I feel like they're actually answering that problem with some of these new heroes.
You're a blue collar quester.
Yeah.
You like to get in there, get dirty, do your job.
Yep.
You're like the micro of questers
in
Heroes of the Storm.
That's right.
You're not about fancy globe collecting.
This is correct. Now, I thought her auto shot, or not, sorry, Q shot was a heal and a damage. It's not. It's heal only. But it's kind of constant. There's a tiny cooldown, but it's like a second.
Yeah.
And so if Bo is right in front of me, and he needs to be line of sight, and he needs to be not blocked by, let's see, how did it work? It travels through minions and it travels through enemies, but you can block it from a player, one of your own other players. So if Bo's in the way of John who needs the healing, I can hit Bo, but it's not going to pass through unless I pick a talent later that lets me go through 2 of you.
Right.
At any rate, that thing, I thought that was doing damage also, so I was always firing it at enemies as
it's
well.
It's fun to shoot at enemies. That's great. Yeah. I'm gonna do that for a while.
Yeah. I actually did that as well. There's something about hitting Q and seeing a sniper, you know, like, indicator that made me think, like, oh, I can shoot this. Like, and I probably shot and did nothing to enemy Arthas 7 or 8 times in just the little time that I was trying her, because it was just like, I got to use Q, and I shot at him, and then I felt silly. But
yeah, so it's no good for anything but healing. It's a skill shot, but it's fast, so you don't feel like you're sloppy. It felt really good to me, and I was hitting everybody I wanted to with the heals. Not a problem. What was harder for me was her E, the sleep fart, or dart, as you might call it.
Yeah.
Or as Bo would call it, fart. That thing would, I'm terrible at that. And it has a terrible cooldown, so it was awful. And I sucked at aiming that. And I don't know why. I don't know if there was a wind up I wasn't paying attention to, or the dart itself was slow.
But it's a slow projectile speed.
Yeah, that's why. Because Q is like, just like bam, like right into you. So you can just be heal, 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 heal. Constantly, constantly, constantly. Barely using any mana doing that either. She's a mana hero, which is, you know, whatever. It's fine. It's fine. I wish they'd go back to Overwatchy stuff that's not as mana based, but that's, I think they've, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. They haven't done this since who's the last one that didn't have mana? Well, I guess they just changed Morales, and I like her better now
too. D.Va would be the last one I'm thinking.
Yeah. Some people would tell you that Kel'Thuzad is the last hero they released who didn't use mana, and that they're correcting that. But yes, I think Poe's technically correct.
Did you get Ding today? I don't remember what was in the patch.
I don't think the patch has hit yet, okay.
They definitely increased his mana management verbatim from the developer notes.
All right. Well, then your reign of terror is nearly over, John.
No. I don't believe.
So what else? Her W is a bionic grenade, and it is a healing grenade, but also does damage. So this is the thing that does damage and heals, and it's also her only form of wave clear that I could suss out of this thing. So she drops this grenade. It's kind of got a reticule and a distance thing. You can augment that later and also create an active key that lets you do a much farther distance, but also has a longer wind up, but it has more damage and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, this hurts. This hurts both structures, minions, and enemy heroes, and it heals within a certain radius fellow teammates.
It also negates healing on the enemy team.
Right. Now, along with this PTR build, looks like there's some new visual indicators of healing done.
Healing reductions.
Is that,
or healing?
Well, there's both of them. So if I heal John. And I can't speak to any other healers, so I didn't play anything else but Ana. But when I would heal, not John, but if I healed my teammate Malfurion, over to the right of his player bar, I would get like a little plus 25 and then a first aid symbol. And then it would show that happening.
That means while that's active, he's getting a 25% increased healing from healing effects. So I think she has things like the biotic grenade actually increases the healing received from teammates. So if you hit that and you see the plus 25, then your healing chart is going to do 25% more healing value than it otherwise would.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
And the reverse, the big negative 100, because biotic grade completely negates healing. I can't wait to see nullified ancestral healings. It's going to be so fun.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, you toss the grenade out and get that effect, and Rhaegar goes, oh shit, I cast it too late soon. You know?
He's now a Muppet.
Also, I like the idea that it would be Rhaegar who would cuss like that. I think that's pretty good. Yeah. That tracks with what I believe.
He's a cusser. He's a cusser.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, his healing's got nothing to do with anything spiritual or churchy. He's just a dick. But anyway, so that's the thing. I like that grenade. It's fun and it feels good. And I like grenades anyway. So big on that. And sleep fart. I'm reading. Sleep dart. It does what it does in Overwatch. It puts you to sleep for a second and a half or whatever it is. If they take any damage during that time from you or anyone else, they immediately wake up. Also, minions, if minions touch them, they wake up. So it's useful in a kind of stun sort of scenario where there's a team not trying, or you shouldn't be darting people everyone's ganging up on, in other words, or it's just going to waste it. Yeah. You want to use it on people who are caught out and put them in a position where they can't move and actually use that time for your to your advantage.
You know what a combo's really great with, though?
What's that?
Is if you're sneaking around, because you're kind of, you're a sniper, you're a tactical player. If you can dart somebody at the right time, it's real good with Kel'Thuzad.
Because
they're standing stock still and the next piece of damage you're going to take is going to blow their pants off.
Oh, that's great.
I'm
all for that.
Yeah.
This combo is pretty good.
Yeah. I will also say minions are not deterred by sleeping targets. They see that as a target of opportunity. They will continue to hit your target if they're sleeping. Mm-hmm. So we did say minions would wake them up, but also don't think that your minions are going to ignore a body. If you leave it in the lane, they will go over and smack it.
Yeah.
But it's a good, you know, she doesn't really have a way to self-heal. She kind of gets a little bit from grenade, but not much. So it's a nice way to, if somebody's flanking or if somebody's after her, she can just kind of shoot that off and give the team time to readjust and help out properly.
Yep. And if you want to have somebody kind of sort of like Morales's ultimate, her nano boost plays like that, except it's like a mana regeneration thing. And what else does it do? I guess it gives them more. I don't have the notes here.
Shorter cooldowns, increased damage.
It's spell power. Specifically, spell power is increased by 30%. And the basic ability cooldowns recharge 150% faster.
Wow.
So on Li Ming, that's pretty powerful. A note, you might be seeing clips out there in the Twitterverse or the Redditverse of ultimates getting their cooldowns reduced, and that's not intended. So Tychus is Odin. Genji's Dragonblade, their ultimates change their basic abilities.
Yeah.
Those changed basic abilities are not supposed to benefit from nano boost. So they are right now, and that's a bug. Mm. So just before you guys start theorizing, there's a crazy clip of someone going nuts with Genji, like swinging a Dragonblade every 0.2 seconds. And that's unintended.
That's insane.
It doesn't work on heroics. Mm. So only basic ability. So think of like your most badass basic ability person. Like on Jaina, it's probably gonna be pretty good. You're gonna rapid fire Frostbolt. Is it Frostbolt?
Yeah, Frostbolt. Yeah, Frostbolt. Yeah.
The Q.
Or
any
of them.
You'll be able to rapid fire those.
Yeah, anything that's like an instant cast. Oh my gosh.
I heard it's pretty effective on Cho'Gall as well.
Really? All right. How about what's his name? Yeah. What about Vala? She could hunger arrow the hell out of people. If she was hit with that thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Monster Hunter Vala would do some serious work. There's a lot of... So I'm a little hesitant to get too excited about this because we are, you know, currently seeing a bunch of clips of, like, the most insane thing, so I don't want to get too attached to any idea considering it could disappear before her release, but it's crazy, the potential that you can do with this, and I'm excited to see where it ultimately ends up.
Where it does improve, or not improve, but is different from what Morales has with her ultimate that's similar, is that this also has gains attached to it. So I really like the idea that your target for this, let's say Vala, who seems like she's mana starved, will benefit in that regard as well. So that's good. Let's see. Her other one is Eye of Horus.
Yeah. It's Horus's eye. It's a horse eye.
Yeah.
You can't lead an eye to the horse's mouth.
Sure.
And make him look at it.
The Egyptian the Egyptian god, not the other name that Bo has written here. I don't want to know that god. That seems like a dirty god. that seems like a god that would hang out with Asmodan and they'd have a good time together. Get nipple rings and all that. But anyway, the Eye of Horus. So this basically gives her like map. She has full range, right? She can be anywhere on the map and snipe from anywhere.
You can aim anywhere on the map, but you have to see the people, I think.
Yeah, she still has, there's still sight. So you can still shoot into the fog of war and hit people, but you know, you're not going to see them.
Right. And if you have like a good, I don't know, what's her name running around pooping creep everywhere or whatever you can do for vision, this seems like this could be pretty badass, but it creates an opportunity for her to use her abilities from way far away. And
yeah, be Medivh. Just have Medivh go scout for you.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah, and I would call it a skill shot light in that you can technically miss, but the second you click an enemy player, it goes off, and if they're in the path, they get hit. Yeah. There's no travel time for the bullet. So you can miss, but it's really hard to miss.
Yeah, you get 8 rounds, so if you miss, you have 7 other tries.
Yeah.
And if you miss all of them, maybe you rethink what character.
The only thing when I saw this, though, in practice, the only concern I have about it is that it kind of takes her out of the fray to do this right or to do it well. So having her in some very different place is fine if you're just in the laning phase and maybe there's an opportunity post 10 where you could use it, but it seems like most of the time you're going to want her around healing and close enough that you're part of the fights. And if you're like, oh, I got my thing, I'll see you guys later, and she's, you know, runs 9 miles that direction just so she's kind of out of all the range, it just, I don't know, it feels like that is going to be a very solo choice in a solo queue kind of choice, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. It feels like it's going to fulfill a role where, you know, maybe your team is pushing, mm-hmm. and she can, because it works as a heal and damage. It's not just a damage dealing talent. So if you've got a big push going and you want to keep it going, it's a way to get 8 heals potentially off on your team in fairly quick succession and allow that to go. Or if maybe she dies because, you know, she is a little bit vulnerable, she can technically heal all the way from the core when she respawns. So there's some use to it, but I definitely think Nano Boost is probably going to be the go-to choice.
Yeah, and I it's funny, her ultimate, that choice of ultimate just makes her what she is normally in Overwatch. Because in Overwatch, her snipe shots are both healing and damage, depending on what they hit. So it's weird that they gave her that ability. That's why I thought Q was doing that earlier on, because I was like, oh, well, she's in Overwatch. She just shoots, and if she hits a good guy, she heals him, and if she hits a bad guy, they're poisoned or hurt. And in this scenario, you wait till 10 to get the ability to basically be Ana normally, which is a little weird, but it's fine. Yeah. It's fine. You know, fit her in how you got to fit her in.
Don't you find it funny that she can't heal, like, in both games? Like, she can hit herself with the grenade and heal herself. Like, that's a thing you can do. Mm-hmm. Not for very much, but she can't take the gun and go, like, let me drink some of this real quick.
Oh, my gosh. That got dark.
I'll heal myself real good. Like, it heals. It's fine. She can shoot it anywhere. Wherever you feel tenderness, point the gun it's okay, Ana. You can do this. I know it's a long gun, but, like, still. Or just get your friend to hold it for a second.
Sure. Sure, why not? Get your friend to hold your gun, I always say.
But it's just weird. But she can't heal herself, so she kind of... I don't know how that's going to be.
Well, it's video games. Who else has a sleep ability in the game right now? Does anybody... Or is she the only one? Like, actual
She's
sleep.
She's the only one, but... There were a lot of people when they saw a sleep effect go into the game, people speculated Ana, but the other one that makes a lot of sense would be, I know we just got Dreadlord Jaina, but Dreadlords are notorious for putting people to sleep. So that's another potential sleep situation.
Yeah,
or Deckard Cain. There you go. Sure. There's a guy who could put someone to sleep.
Oh no, I'm barely awake now just thinking about Deckard Cain telling me a story, you know?
Yeah. Well, that makes sense, because we got Varian taunt, and then we're like, there's no more taunt in the game, and then we have Garrosh taunt, so there's going to be more sleep, I think.
Yeah, more sleep is better. I could use more sleep. Anyway, there she is. All her level 1 talents, again, are quests. They're good quests. I like it a lot, and that auto attack increase at 70, or it's at 70, at 20 is amazing. And I really think she's going to be good. Now, it's hard to say with just practice mode if she's going to be anything, but I felt real good about this. Also felt like a very active healer. Like, there's more going on here than just healing. You're going to be a factor in ways that sometimes, you know, what's her name is, Nova is, but you don't have all of Nova's annoying bits. You know, she's not invisible. She can't go stealth someplace, but like Bo says, she's tactical and she's very mobile and, you know, she can kind of get around. I say she's mobile. She doesn't really have a good escape or anything, but she's got longer auto attack range than most other characters, if not all of them. Forgot what he said in the video. I think they said, didn't they?
Yeah, I think he said larger than normal, but I don't know if that means the largest or...
She's got the talent upgrade at level 4. I don't know if you took this. It's called Aim Down Sights, where you lose 20% movement speed, but you gain attack range and 100% vision range.
Oh, wow.
And you need to try this because, A, you see, like, moving slower generally pretty bad, but the animation that they did with her, because the way she walks is like the and crouches is like the coolest part about her.
Yeah, it's like Metal so much Gear fun. Solid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so much fun watching her crouch with her gun and the sound of the gun, and then watching her walk and aim down sights mode is like the coolest walk animation, I think, in the entire game.
That's great.
She has this like sidestep thing that she does that is just perfect.
That's a great way to make that that slowdown feel better, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
She feels like a speedy hammer at that point, is what it kind of feels. A speedy Healy hammer. My favorite children's book growing up, and now Heroes of the Storm has brought it to me in the game.
Yeah, it was my rap name for a while, but the children's book people came after me and said, you can't use that.
They're very litigious.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, no, I like that a lot. I assume she's normal mount speed though, right? When she's on a mount, she's like everybody else should be. Right?
Yeah,
well, it's an activatable, so okay. you can turn it off as well.
Oh,
you
see?
Toggle on and off. I think there's a level 20 talent that you can only take if you take the level 4 talent too.
Yes.
That increases it. Yeah.
That is very hammer. That's also very level 20 always be a what's Li Ming's called where she's always an archon? That thing.
Always be archon.
Always be archon.
It's actually called archon just like the other one, but it's called pure power archon or archon pure power.
Yeah. I like that pick a lot, but that's one of those ones where you toggle it and it would be a bad pick if you were just made into that form and you could never not be that. But because they give you that option, that's cool. So I'm glad to hear you can toggle that on or off. I'm stoked for her. I think she's going to be a great addition to the game. I'm happy to see more support heroes with very unique builds. This isn't your, you know, I'm going to heal you person. This is something new and different and I'm stoked about her. So anyway, any other thoughts about her or any predictions about Junkrat? We don't know anything about him except he's coming, and he'll probably be a specialist.
The one thing I saw was in the trailer, it was a quick little cut of him able to throw himself over a wall with using his mind. So that's in the game. I'm fairly pleased. And I think they're going to put everything that you love about Junkrat and Overwatch into the game.
Good.
There was also a lot of video in that I can't imagine were just 4 trailer assets of him riding a giant bomb, Dr. Strangelove style. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing that's probably going to factor into one of his ultimates. You know, he likes explosions. I expect explosions.
It looks
he's
like
he's going to be riding a rocket.
Yeah. Oh. See, this is what I think he's going to do. Suicide rocket is one of them. The other one will be his tire. And those are his ultimates. Mm-hmm. And then his primary job is lots of siege and lots of, I don't know, chaos with his grenades and everything I love about him. I can't wait. It's going to be great.
So you're thinking specialist for sure. Right?
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine he's anything else. I mean, they could surprise me here, but definitely not support, probably not tank. So it's between specialist and assassin. And I don't know. I can't see assassin. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. It just...
I like your idea. I can't wait to see the Carbot of, like, the people safely behind their base and then bombs and shoes and tires and traps. They keep flying over the wall and they keep having... They're like, this guy cheats. He throws everything over the wall.
There are times I wonder if Blizzard puts things in this game so the Carbot has new material to work with.
They're just, like, they have a big all-staff meeting with all, like, 5,000 employees. They're like, we like Carbot here.
Yep.
If you don't like Carbot, get out. Yeah. And now we're trying to make things for him.
That seems really cool. All right, Volskaya Foundry. Let's talk about this thing. This is your map, right? 3 lanes, medium-sized map, they call it. The story's all about that Volskaya lady, and they show a little bit of her in the trailer talking to dudes and getting ready for whatever. The trailer's really rad for a couple of reasons. We can talk about all of it, but my favorite thing is I think the music's really cool. In fact, here's a taste of it.
Now, the Treeglob Protector is ready for testing.
Wrong trailer. Anyway, hey everybody, I was wrong. Wait, hold on, why isn't it working? There it is. So anyway, the point is, this is Volskaya Foundry. The weird bit is they have capture points that aren't all that different than other capture points in Heroes of the Storm, except they function just like mini versions of the entire reason you're running an Overwatch match. That is to capture the point, hold it, and then win it. And it even has like the little timer that counts up, you still own it until they take it over and the timer keeps going. When you've captured it, there's overtime. If they're contesting it, there's an overtime meter. It looks like it's taken right out of Overwatch. And there are three of these. They're laid out different, and they all have, that's the part I've been waiting to say, conveyor belts. And they look like they're going to make your life miserable there. So let's talk about the mechanics of that. Who's excited for conveyor belts?
I am. I'm
absolutely
on board.
All right.
Conveyor belts are fine.
All right. You're not worried about that adding to, like, well, I mean, okay, with
I'm
us.
The guy that wants pits. I want to be able to play Lucio and boot people into holes. So I'm conveyor belts are like one step closer to them seeding this, like, the injured can't handle holes and we can't do conveyor belts.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Now, how do you feel about them creating, I mean, are you worried about them creating chaos in a rando situation? Because people don't know which way they're walking. That Zagara is walking against the thing and she shouldn't be. Like, that video shows the dumbest Zagara in the history of the world. She's just so dumb. But Johnny, does that concern you? Well, you're all for it. Why are you for it?
I'm all for it because, you know, we don't see a lot of certain characters in the game. Gazlo is a favored hero among many, but we don't see a lot of play, and they've confirmed that if you put a turret on the conveyor belt, it will travel down the conveyor belt, which all of a sudden adds an entire new level of utility for characters like Gazlo. And I think it's just going to shake things up in a really interesting way. And I love the idea of one team standing on one side of the conveyor belt and him just dropping little turrets that travel the conveyor belt and are now in attack range with him just safely hanging out in the back laughing about it. Yeah, you know, that seems great.
Like Torbjorn does in the actual Volskaya Industries tractor belt things. He does the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'll put them on a belt. It'll take off. Well, not a belt, but the floating hover things. And they are annoying as hell, or at least they used to be. I don't know if they're as annoying as they used to be. But yeah, there's opportunities there, right? Like, some fun ideas. I'm just not looking forward to playing with people who are bad at the kind of directional things and jack up the team fights because of it. Because it looks like a couple of them look like they're going to be insane. Mm-hmm. One of them looks like it's pretty easy. The other two are pretty complicated. So, anyway. Those look
great. I don't think I saw. Oh, no, I guess there are some to speed you back into the match.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember using them when I tried the map.
Oh, you've tried
I was
the
a little
map?
Bit like, oh, there's not that many conveyor belts on this map. But, you know, I think probably they balanced it okay. We'll see.
So you tried the map. What'd you think overall?
Well, I tried it versus AI because I was earning my free gems to buy Ana with. Yeah. So, I mean, the AI was improved, which we'll talk about in a bit, but I didn't really benefit from the map. Was pretty. It was fun. The bots kept getting into the robot, so I never actually piloted the damn thing.
we're improved AI. We're doing this.
Yeah.
I think it looks cool. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping this meets with positive reception. We don't have another Hanamura on our hands.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I think it looks really cool, and I hope people don't get sick of it. It's a capture and hold point. There's going to be some team comps and quick match matchmaking that are not going to be favored here on this kind of a deal. Mm-hmm. But I hope it turns out to be fun and competitive.
Okay, now, so elephant in the room. Oh, did you see your video? Sorry about that.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, somebody's getting bored of me talking.
Oh, no. No, I couldn't remember what that image file was, and then I realized it, and then I thought it'd be funny to flash it.
It's perfect. It was great.
No, what I was going to say was, the elephant in the room, quite literally, a big, giant, fat elephant known as this Volskaya freaking robot dude. I don't know his real name. What is it? Something.
The Tree Glove Protector.
Tree Glove Protector.
Tree Glove. You know, they realized they were going to call it Tree Glove, right? Why not?
Tree Glove.
So this thing is a mech, big thing. It's a two-seater. So unlike the Dragon Knight and unlike the Plant Monster, which are player manned, they only take one person, they get into them or become them, and then they go and do what they do. Basically, this is a mechanized version of Cho'Gall in a lot of ways. If you get in first, you're the pilot. You handle some siege stuff and some, you know, some things that are basically movement-based and oriented. And, you know, you're running up to structures, doing that fist thing and also pounding on those structures. And then the second person to board the thing is all artillery of some sort. So there's a Gatling gun type thing, and there's a bomb chucking thing, and you're basically Gaul at that point in a Cho'Gaul scenario. What it sounds like to me, and I haven't heard anything counter to this, is it doesn't have to be two people in there. It can be right. one, but they will have way less of an arsenal. With two of you in there, you become like a formidable problem on the map, like a straight up serious issue. In fact, in the map or in the video, it says in skilled hands, you know, they're going to do some crazy damage and hurt a lot of people. So it seems like the optimal thing to do would be make sure you have two people in there. But I could see a scenario or a situation, depending on your comp, where you just have a pilot in there and everybody else is doing something else to make it hard to kill it or whatever. So anyway, I like the idea that there's options there. But what do you guys think? Like, I know, John, you've had problems in the past about like manned vehicles in the game.
Yeah, and I would say that I'm still nervous about it. My initial reaction when they said it's a two-person vehicle, my gut reaction was, great, so now two people can try to avoid being the person that has to click the thing. Mm-hmm. Because right now, it's like, okay, who's going to get the garden terror? And then crickets. Mm-hmm. And then, all right, well, guess what? Murky, you volunteered because you're murky. All right, and then off goes Murky. Well, now we have two people that have to have a responsibility. Maybe it will not feel like a responsibility. Maybe it will be something that people want to fight over, as opposed to everyone pretends like they're suddenly real busy doing other things when it becomes available. But that would be the part that makes me nervous, is that people aren't going to want to do it, much like Dragon Knight and Garden of Terror, where people seem to be a bit hesitant to be the vehicle goer.
Or one person gets in, like, all right, I need a second person, and everyone else disperses.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Damn it, come on, I need to.
Oh, geez, person. I got reports I got to do. Hold on, the top lane, we're so bad, I got to go.
Fine.
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing is, you, like I said before, you don't have to have two, but then it seems like you're weakening yourselves by not having two. So there's a lot of in-practice questions I have about how this thing's going to work out. I do like it in concept, though. The map is kind of bananas in terms of, you know, what you're doing, how you're doing it, when you're doing it. And this thing's got some cool abilities. Like, there's basically, it's got its own stun. I can't think of any other, I mean, other than the plant thing where it turns into a plant monster, there's really nothing like that in the vehicle sense. So, I don't know. I want to see this in practice, but I really like the idea. And we'll see how it goes. I assume it has the same kind of timer or some sort of timer associated with it, so you can't just wander the map forever. As well as, obviously, when it gets blown up, you're kicked out of it.
Yeah, just wander the earth, not actually fight.
Yeah.
And Optimus Prime was never heard from again.
Exactly. Oh, and I guess that's the other thing, the other usage case. You can't get out of it once you get into it. That's important. But let's say we're all fighting at a gate or at a pair of towers or at a keep or whatever, and things are getting kind of gnarly, and we're all there fighting, and we realize, well, if one of us is in the, if two people are in the mech, then that means at least two of us are being protected from whatever onslaught we're getting, and maybe now is the time we want the artillery guy in there. So you could, in theory, walk the thing down, start the fight, four people on the ground skirmishing, one guy in the machine, and then right toward the latter half of the life of the thing, somebody else could pop into it. That's going to take coordination, obviously. Randos aren't going to do that, but I could see that scenario playing out pretty well, where a squishy is about to die and they're like, I'm getting into this machine and living a little bit longer and doing a little bit more damage. Like, there's some opportunities there to do some cool stuff. So
yeah, absolutely.
I'm jazzed about it. I want to see how it plays.
I think this map is exactly what I hope future re-released Hanamura is. It's a bunch of really cool ideas. It's not overly complicated. They took a lot of the concepts and ideas from Hanamura and put it in a real simple kind of package. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what is appealing to me. There's a lot of questions, obviously, but I think from just a analyst looking at it from the outside, this seems like a much more appealing map because it seems like it has a focus.
Yeah. It's also, I don't know, it's consistent with the other maps in terms of what you need to do. You don't have to be a scientist to get your head around how it works. Outside of the Cho'Gaul like robot, it's really, you know, capture the points, earn the thing, push the lane, kill dudes, rinse and repeat. And I think that's good when the game can convey that in ways that feel very different, but are really kind of rooted in what they already know. Whereas Hanamura felt like you had to learn a lot of new things. Also, what was I going to just say about it? The thing I like about it is that it has stuff in it. Nope. Oh, I know. Yep. I know. I do like kind of what the merc camps do for Hanamura, at least some of them. That there's a combination of merc camps here. So you have siege and regular merc stuff going on, but also there's this guy poops out a turret and this guy's a heal bonus thing. So they're taking some of those Hanamura ideas and moving them forward. And I like those. So that'd be all right.
Yeah. Because that's what you always wanted to do with the turret. You always wanted it to be a cool, like, I'm going to set up siege right here and fight within it. Mm-hmm. But you never really felt like you could because you felt like you always had to put it on the payload.
Yeah. And now you can put it in different places, including a conveyor effing belt.
That's right.
Yeah.
Have that thing rotate around.
We're all Torbjorns now.
Yeah. Yeah, at this rate, map mechanics will make it so we never need a Torbjorn again. All right. Well, that's that. There's a bunch of other stuff, new cosmetics, skins, stuff like that. The invisible horse that a lot of people are talking about, 10K for that bastard.
This feels like Blizzard trolling us at this point. There was that fake leak video, if you remember, where they had invisible mounts in it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that this happened, right. But I feel like somebody at some point said, I'd pay 10,000 gold for an invisible mount. And I feel like this is Blizzard saying, do it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want an invisible horse. It is probably I would rather be on Poverty Horse than a weird invisible horse.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's appealing to me. I see its appeal.
Yeah. Well,
part of
what's cool about it is there's a saddle there hovering in midair.
And they're clearly trolling us because they did confirm it with the Diva Deathwing. Is it actual response to everyone's disappointment over the Hanamura trailer that Deathwing wasn't announced because of the tease.
Yeah. So, and it's her, and it's important to know that it's her in the skin, right? Like, she was the release where everyone thought the tease was Deathwing and were disappointed it wasn't Deathwing. Well, now she, the person responsible for that trailer, or one of the main parts of that trailer, is in the actual Deathwing skin. Like, this is how Blizzard gets back. Without getting back, you know what I mean?
And so between a thought I just had and chat, I'm on board with the invisible horse. Let me tell you the journey that my brain just took.
All right.
One, Daniel J. Newman said, how does it look when Cho carries it? And that thought alone, Cho'Gall carrying an invisible horse to run faster, is already really good, and now I kind of want it. And two, I do play Cassia with the Wonder Woman skin, and an invisible horse does feel like the best possible mount for that skin.
All right. Yeah, you've won me over, too, with those two ideas. I was already excited about it because I think it's just a great idea, but yeah. 10K in gold's a little expensive, but who am I kidding? I'll probably do it. I have 30K gold. I can spend some gold. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Well, you can spend it on the all-gold treasure goblin.
Oh, right.
That seemed like low-hanging fruit.
Also,
hey, we need to release the thing. Let's just make this all gold and sell for gold.
Yeah, let's.
It was like the I'm Rich app that came out on iPhones early on in the day.
Yeah, I remember those. Those were stupid. Oh my gosh, those were so dumb, wasn't it? If you bought, how those work? I can't remember.
They were like, they were a lot of money. I don't want to say $1 million, but it was like $10,000 or something like that to buy the app.
Yeah,
and it was just an app called I'm Rich, and you would open it up, and it was like a graphic of a gem, and it just was like, I'm rich.
Yeah, that's it. And some people did it.
Uh-huh.
That's what's
and
gross.
And then Apple pulled it because, I don't know. To me, if you bought it, you bought it. Like, I don't know why you need to shut that down.
It's because it has to fit in one of the categories in the iTunes store, and there isn't a douchebag category.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, plus, and Google Play, for that matter, doesn't allow these now either. The thing is, if you put one of those in and somebody bought it, I'll bet it was a refund request nightmare for Apple or anyone doing this.
Oh, that's true.
So is
chargebacks a thing?
Yes.
Does that also work?
Yeah. I think that's a mess. So I don't think they wanted to do that.
I thought I was rich, but it turns out I'm not rich.
I'm not rich at all. Or I'm rich again because they give me my money back. Anyway, so I want one and it'll be a thing I have. But it does feel a little like, I mean, what you're looking at there is just alpha. I actually know how this is made. The model for the horse is just like any other model in terms of the geometry it takes up. It's just alpha so that it can't be seen. It's transparent. And then there's a the only part that isn't transparent is the freaking saddle. So in a way, they are kind of cheating. They're giving you a saddle texture that they probably got from another horse with a saddle already for 10,000 gold.
Yep.
It is kind
of... I think Scott's seen too much sausage.
Yeah. I have seen...
getting made.
I know how this...
Oh no, I heard the pre-show. I'm pretty sure Scott's seen too much sausage too.
So yeah, you mean to tell me, someone who hasn't seen any sausage get made, that they don't have to contact an invisibility specialist, like outsource contractor, and get him to come in and provide guidance on the best type of transparency to,
apply to the horse? It's ridiculously simple and easy. It's like reskinning. In fact, it's easier than reskinning something because you don't have to do any new art. You're literally just like saying, all of these polygonal objects and vertices that used to be visible, make them not. Done.
I hope that guy or girl's not listening and spent longer than you've given it credit for.
Hey.
I spent 30 minutes on that thing.
I will gladly.
How many thighs just go wide? That is a better way.
I would gladly eat crow and admit it on the show and take full responsibility for my statement if they want to write in and tell me any different. I guarantee it's as simple as that. So we'll see.
I fully believe.
Yeah, we'll see what they do.
I'm going to just keep believing they contacted the offices of H. Potter, invisibility specialist.
Why Potter? Oh, Harry Potter. Duh. Oh, Scott, the whole joke, and I didn't get it. I thought it was funny because it just sounded like a funny company name, like Bernstein and Bernstein, attorneys at law, you know, whatever. I like a funny name, and Potter was a funny name. But you're talking about Harry Potter and the Cloak of Invisibility.
They said Harry Potter and not Harry Potter.
Yeah. Well, he said H. Potter.
Harry Potter. John was even worse. Potter.
Now, here's the question. What would happen on the field of battle if suddenly a Civil War era, okay, if suddenly a regiment of men showed up on invisible horses, all that was visible was their saddles. I wonder what that would sound like. In fact, let me rub my chin as I wonder. Here we go.
My dearest Martha, today we have achieved victory. A sweet victory, unlike any other. We have confounded the enemy, Martha. Using amazing technology, we can now render our horses invisible. Martha, we thought this would be a really good idea, but for some reason the technology only works on the horses. Doesn't work on the saddle, and doesn't work on the rider. Martha, I thought it was going so well that even during the course of this letter, things have turned. They shot little Billy with the funny eye right off of his mount. I don't know how they knew he was there, Martha. We were hoping they'd be intimidated by the spooky ghost fashion that he floated through the air with his legs all bowed and freaky. But Martha, they weren't terrified at all.
Yeah.
I will likely not be returning home to you today, Martha, for I am also saddled atop one of these monstrosities, and I expect my life will be over. Martha, I spit on myself while I was writing this letter. Yours in this life and the next, slightly damp chin 92.
Wait, what's wrong with Billy's eye? What happened to Billy?
He's got a funny eye.
Okay. And he's just a kid in the army or what?
You know, it was a tough era and you know, things go weird for Billy's.
Like they do. All right. Hey, what else? What's this Parch Maria Mania thing? What the hell is this? I don't even know what this is.
It's the onion guys from Overwatch.
Oh. Oh.
The little Pakimari.
Oh, the little the onion stuff. Yeah, like little stuffed animal things that are in the claw machines. What's the deal with those?
Basically, so you know, like the Monkey King or the Deckard Cain event.
Yeah.
When you're gonna start matches now, there's gonna be Overwatch loot boxes in your area.
Yeah.
And you're gonna click them as fast as you can. There's gonna be a bunch of them that pop out.
Yeah.
And you've got to find the golden one. Oh. And if you do, you get the quest. You get stuff. Who knows?
I stopped reading.
I was like, oh, there's a new event. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just eventually get through it. This stuff is pretty not exciting for me. So, basically you open Overwatch loot boxes until you find the golden one.
Okay. And it's tied to this release, to this map, but it's all part of this upcoming thing, I guess.
Yeah, you're going to unlock emojis, banners, and sprays as a result of doing it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's fine. I mean, you know, one, another one of those. It's fine. A few other improvements. Got big AI improvements for select heroes. That's interesting because most of the time I don't care about that except when someone gets disconnected and they have an AI in their place. That'd be nice if they behaved better while they were gone. But
I
also,
noticed in the try mode, the Kael'thas AI that I was working with Anna, he's going pretty ham. Mm. Like his new AI was apparently, there's an Anna there. I can do what I want. Mm. Like he was walking into turret range and just like being real bold. And it wasn't until he got real low on health that it was like, oh, I've made a mistake. And he'd turn around and go running away.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's improved AI, but it's certainly more aggressive AI. And I appreciated it.
Sure. Why not? So we'll see what that, how that pans out, but really where it matters to us is, you know, somebody gets kicked for connection issues and it'd be nice to see that not be such a hideous thing when that happens. Banners, that are placed after completing an objective, capturing mercenaries, etc. These now display the name of the player who put the banner there. That is a great new addition because otherwise who the hell knows who did it? Everyone's got the same banners. So it was dumb before. Now I know who did it. I still say it's a little dumb, but I like the idea that the name will be there. Healing indicators, increased and decreased healing indicators. We talked about those earlier, so that's going to happen next to their names, little modifiers. And a loot chest upgrade. So this is what they say. I have questions about this. But anyway, loot chest purchase via the loot tab will now only grant rare loot chests rather than normal ones. And they said this is an important note. This only applies to loot chests purchased after this patch is applied to the live version of the game. In each region, normal loot chests the player already owns will not convert to rare ones. Bo Schwartz, your take. Because you have a lot of these. You have a whole stack of these sitting there. How do you feel?
Yep. So as it turns out, the loot boxes, it's basically better value to get a stim pack than it is to buy loot boxes. Mm. And the reason for that is you can buy a loot box and get 4 commons in it. If you don't have the gold to re-roll it, it's a waste of a buck or 80 cents. Whereas, you know, you get more value out of just playing the game as you normally would and buying the stim pack to get it increased. Mm. So what this means is that at the very least, you're guaranteed a bit more value out of your box. Like you're getting something for your money. Like what's the point in buying 50 loot boxes if you don't have the gold to re-roll them? Okay, so let me back it up. Like you have to earn gold to play by playing the game, right? Mm-hmm. So in my particular situation, let's say I don't have any loot boxes. I have 10k gold. There's only so many loot boxes I can buy up into a point where I'm going to run out of gold and not feel like opening my loot boxes or not feeling like opening more because the perception is I'm losing value by buying boxes and not getting re-rolls on them. Because maybe, what if I need it? What if I get 4 commons? What if I get, you know, what if I want to keep re-rolling? So you kind of get self-gated. The gold system with the re-rolls is a gate for players' perception. No one's going to feel good buying loot boxes without the money to re-roll them. So what happens is, actually, the way the economy works through leveling is that you get your boxes at a pretty good clip in this game, meaning you get your dopamine hit. I mean, there's been occasions where I've gotten 2 legendaries out of 4 boxes and a bunch of rerolls. What do I need 50 for? Like, that's pretty good right there. So I think this is a step in the direction acknowledging that loot boxes are not appealing to buy versus just earning them for a large amount of people in the game. Mm. And so they're taking measures to provide this. This means that I feel less bad if I don't have gold to buy a loot box, because I know at least I'm going to get a rare. There's at least going to be 40 plus shards in it if I get a duplicate, you know, so that's better.
Yeah, it seems better. John, do you agree?
Yeah, I think it's going to be nice for sure. I think they need to do a little tweaking with the loot chests. And just as an anecdotal statement to go along with this, I was running really low on gold, much like Bo said, made me not want to open loot chests. So I thought, okay, well, here's my new rule. I'm going to be real stingy on my rerolls. I'm only going to reroll if it's all grays or if it's one blue and it's all duplicates across the board. That will be the only times I reroll. And I continue to be completely out of gold because I was getting all gray boxes so many times out of it from boxes I bought and things like that. And so I ended up really kind of feeling bad about some of the loot boxes that I've picked up and things like that as a result. So I'm happy to see that. I still wish Blizzard would do something with legendaries. I think this game has too many legendary items in the game, and I think something needs to be done to address that, either some form of protection for duplicates. Because when you get a legendary, it should feel good in this game. And part of it's my fault. I own all the heroes, so getting a new hero isn't exciting to me, whereas it would be for a bunch of people out there. But at the same time, when I get legendary, I tend to just be happy because I'm getting the shards. And it's not that many shards. It's 400. Like, it isn't even close to being on the way to the amount you need to buy a legendary skin, of which there are a ton of them in the game now. So I feel like I would like to see them do some tweaking on the upper end as well, either with duplicate protection, more shards if you get a duplicate for a legendary item, or at least something to make me feel a little more excited when I get a legendary item in my box, because right now, I'm very rarely excited or surprised when I get it.
Yeah, I definitely. I mean, we knew tweaks would be coming, because they always do. I wouldn't call this loot 3.0, but I think it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah,
I love getting loot chests, and I feel like my problem is I have so many low level characters that I don't care to play or haven't played, that I'm not getting as many as I could or as many player levels as I could because I'm focusing on my high level characters. And it disproportionately looks like I've got a lower level or less loot chests or whatever compared to other people. I probably just need to do like John and go, and, you know, have one of those weeks or two where I just spend time leveling my lobies. I like that idea a lot.
Also helps you find characters you might really enjoy that you didn't think you would. That's kind of how I discovered Brightwing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now you love him. You dream about him. You draw pictures of him. Mm-hmm. You want to be,
but I draw it
him.
As a girl.
Oh, it is a girl, or is it a dude? Yeah. Did we ever?
No, it's a girl.
Okay.
Oh, but on the subject, I had an idea. By the way, it's a girl, but they could do a boy wing skin.
A boy wing.
Yeah, and it's just like a Pinocchio. It's like, I'm a real boy, and he floats around with a tail.
Oh, I thought you meant he could be like a Pinocchio in a different way. Never mind. Why I thought that? I was thinking more penis. Anyway, hey, look at this. Some balance changes to the PTR patch. Carl Jim getting increased CDR for insight. Transcendence healing buffed. Also has a UI indicator under his health bar letting you know which of the three hits you are on. Great. Anything you do to Carl Jim in a positive direction is all fine with me. I like him a lot. Why is he in all red in our notes, though? Is someone very excited
about
this?
Just to make sure we talk to him. I'm happy about this. I mean, monk buffs, please, every day, every week, all the time.
Yeah, we love him.
Best hero.
He's really great. So that's coming. That'll be really cool. Mount Global Z on heroes like Abathur, Dahaka, Falstad, Brightwing now go on a 10-second cooldown when interrupted, including self-interruption. No more piecing out. That seems reasonable, although I don't know why it took so long. But whatever.
You know how when you try and pick on Dahaka and he globals away?
Yeah.
That's no longer going to be a thing. As soon as he takes damage, he'll be interrupted.
I'm into that. I like that a lot. It's always him, too. The rest of them, not so much, but always Dahaka. That's
is
always
it
happening.
Any damage is going to interrupt?
Not
or?
Damage, but like, yeah, that's weird.
I think it has to be a legitimate stun that would have interrupted them before.
Okay, so it would still go on cooldown if that happened. It'd just be 3 seconds and not 10 seconds.
Yeah,
stricter penalty is the word I'm looking for if it happens.
Yeah, because before they just start it right back up, right? But if you stun them now, they have 10 seconds plus. Well, yeah, this essentially stops it. So
that's good. Patch note just says interrupted. So I don't think damage does that. I think interruption is interruption.
Yeah, if Muradin throws his hammer, sorry. So sorry, Dahaka, you're not going anywhere now. A couple of new Johanna talents and talent tree sprucing up, including added falling sword functionality. Does less damage, but slows enemies knocked up for 2 seconds after. Knocked up. Oh, up.
So her falling sword knocks them up, and then when they land, it's slow.
Is that how?
Which is good. That's how it functions more like stage dive now.
That's how babies are made. You get knocked up for 2 seconds after.
And you get slowed for 2 seconds.
You get slowed for 9 months. PTR patch notes say all vehicles are now unstoppable. Can you explain that? Because that doesn't make sense to me.
So Dragon Knights, Garden Terrors used to be able to slow them for a reduced amount, 50 or 75%, like if you hit your Mirrodin stun.
Yeah.
Hooks would work on them. Things like that would still work on them.
They had lesser effect, but yeah, they worked. They don't, yeah, but well, now they
the
won't.
Hook fully worked. Like a good hook would still pull it the whole way. Now they're just unstoppable, meaning nothing can affect it or influence it. It can just be damaged. Okay. That's it.
Okay. Mm. I think
maybe
I'm all
it does
right.
what it wants.
I'm okay with that.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, I mean, look at it. Right now, like when I would do a Mirrodin stun, sticking to Mirrodin, when I would chuck his hammer, do his Q, it was a very brief stun. Like, drop in the bucket, nowhere near what it did to an actual hero. So I don't feel like I'm losing that much with that kind of stuff. Now, maybe a hook is different. A hook is a pretty sizable alteration of timing and everything. So pulling him way back with a hook is a big deal. Assuming you're behind him. I mean, there's a lot of ways that scenario could go. But John, what concerns you? What worries you?
I think ultimately the crux of the issue is it reminds me that I can no longer as Diablo lift bosses over the wall, which I couldn't do anyway, but I'm still sad about it.
Oh, well, this just takes it into a place where it's never going to happen.
Right. We've gotten further away from that perfect world that we lived in for a time.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I think it'll be fine. And then there's balance patch stuff coming, bunch of things. I don't know. What
I'll
are these
them real quick?
Yeah, tell me about the Toronto one, because you've been playing her
I've
crazy.
I've been playing Toronto again all week this week, Scott, and I've gotten to the point where I've mastered this thing. I got stitches hooked, gorged, spit out, shadow stalked away, and had five people chasing me through a choke. I fired five owls back to back. Room, 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 room. It was so much fun. I'm like, I'm getting so good at Toronto. I didn't get any kills, but they were all at like 10% HP. Surviving a 1v5 like that was super fun. And, you know, I was kind of saying how strong it was. I was quickly topping out damage. Anyways, they nerfed it. So the important talent at 13, every time you hit something with your Sentinel, it's 4 seconds of cooldown reduction. And it's built in 4 second cooldown reduction into the talent itself. Mm. Now it's only 2 seconds of cooldown reduction when you hit things, meaning you can't machine gun Sentinel anymore. Now I still say she's the new Nova. Like, real talk. If you're a Nova player out there and you enjoy the kind of playstyle that Nova brings, you're supposed to be playing Tyrande. Nova's terrible. Just play Tyrande. She does what Nova does way better. Go invisible, get behind somebody point blank, and then open up and unload on them, and they're dead in 2 seconds. If that's what you want to do, then you pick Tyrande.
Yeah.
So that part is untouched. But the machine gun Sentinel, which was a really fun part of playing her, I was starting to find, it's gone. So shed a tear. Get in there right now. I think you can still play machine gun Tyrande, but it's over soon.
Mm. All right. That's interesting. And then
So
what else?
Next up, a bunch of nerfs to Vertical Man.
Hey, you almost said what you wrote. You almost said it.
Well, so for listeners, I wrote Vertical Dick in there just because I thought we need to give him a first name.
Yeah, sorry, like Alexander. Alexander's dad. We're not trying to work too blue, but there you go, Vertical. Vertical.
That's
dick.
What happens it's like, when Bo gets into the show notes. Yeah. It's
like Dick, like Dick Tracy.
Yeah, like Dick Tracy. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's just a vertical version of Dick Tracy. Sure.
He's a very tall detective.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's all kinds of weird characters in that comic. Anyways, John, so there's extra mana management. Looks like some nerf to Glacial Spike a little bit, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's going to be fine. It'll be fine. It's going to be okay. Somebody tell me it'll be okay. It'll be okay.
Tiny nerfs. I don't think they're fun.
They aren't bad. I was worried it was going to be far, far worse than it actually ended up being. It's mostly mana, like you said. Some damage to Glacial Spike, they need to find a way to don't make Glacial Spike worse because it's perfect, but they need to up that talent tier because Glacial Spike, I do feel, is a mandatory choice for Kel'Thuzad. But it is going to be okay. The part that scares me is the developer notes did end with "we're keeping an eye on him," and I'm like, stomach. And I just want to say, no, stop! Don't look at him. He's a beautiful baby boy. Let him grow up to be the man he's meant to be. You don't need to change him anymore. He's fine.
Yeah, that's what's gonna happen though. This is like just an incremental tweak, and they need to see how that goes before they make the next one. I'll bet they have a list, John.
Yes, they probably do. I had to know that a character that can instantly walk in and blow up tanks in a couple seconds was probably going to get nerfed. I just didn't want to believe it was going to happen.
That was fun while it lasted. Good job.
You might as well pour out a phylactery now, John.
Oh, yeah. Pour one out, phylactery is harder to complete now.
Is it?
All right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Need more globe.
How about, so Chromie got a ton of crap. Does she get some nerfy or what's going on?
She had a big rework. Her quest, her baseline quest, past and future me, was 80 stacks. They've lowered it to 60. Mm. So anyone struggling with Chromie out there, you might find it easier to complete. I haven't touched her since the rework. I'm too saddened by what's happened. Mm. Brightwing got some touch-up. So if you actually like playing Brightwing, might be a good time to dust him or her off and
pixie dust, that is.
Oh yeah, nice. Good time to pixie dust him or her off.
Yeah,
and figure out what's going on there, because everything looks like a positive thing, and sometimes one little change can make be all the difference to being somebody competitive.
I think we can call him an it, and the reason I say that, like, in human terms that's very offensive and I wouldn't want to call anyone an it, but in the animal kingdom, which I think Brightwing belongs, it's a creature of some sort,
dragon.
Sure, it's a whelpling or whatever they're called, or what are they called?
Guys, Brightwing is a girl.
Okay, but let's just say if I see a deer out in the woods and I know it's a girl, even then I say, don't shoot it. That's okay. It's acceptable to say it.
Yeah. But when someone's trying to shoot your neighbor, you don't say, don't shoot it. You say, don't shoot him or don't shoot her.
Yeah, but he's not my neighbor. He's a flying dragon frog monkey.
Who's keeping you alive through the power of healing and positivity.
All right, that's true.
Scott's brought up a really important issue here on Core that we should take a minute on. Is animal racism is a real thing. The dehumanization of animals across the globe, it's a real issue, and Scott just wants to say it isn't.
That's right.
Okay, anyway.
I put my stake in the ground. Okay, continue on there.
Right, he has touch-ups. Morales, the wait time, you'll be excited, Scott. Wait time for the recharge on the energy is down to 2 seconds now.
That's great, because I wasn't even complaining about the three, so that's great. It's not a problem. I will accept your 2 seconds. That sounds good to me.
Well, and I think we all honed in on that being a metric they could change as they felt needed to be adjusted, and so it's not surprising to see that's the very first thing they adjusted.
It feels like a tuning knob for them now, and they can they can tweak that without having to tweak much else, and three was already acceptable in my opinion. Especially, I mean, now it may change my talent path, because I always took talents that would help augment that, like damage creates faster energy regen, and that I may not take that this time because maybe I can better place my talents somewhere else. But I still think I think your rework is one of my favorite reworks. And I know this is controversial still, but I think she's awesome right now. I love her.
You're in some good company. I saw some professional players say they liked it. It's not a universal thing, but no,
for sure.
You're in some good company, I think. Just to round out these balance patch notes, which should be live sometime this week, Garrosh mana costs are increased, or he actually gets them now. And Entomb is now down to 60 seconds. It was 50. They bumped it to 70, but now it's 60 because everyone's just going March of the Black King now. So Entomb is back. It's still a good ultimate. So there you go. Also, by the way, just as a side note before we move on to our next thing, the intro of today's show, that owl noise you heard, that was a human doing that, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently, because an animal racism brought this up. I watched about 30 minutes of an owl mating call competition. There's like 50 people came up and did their best mating calls. Mm-hmm. Anyways,
really?
Animals, they're important.
That's a thing?
Yeah, it's a real thing, I swear to God.
I've never heard of that.
I had a lot to choose from.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I would have never, I don't even know what to say to that. That's a thing that someone does.
You gotta have a hobby, I guess.
I found a new subculture, owl hooting.
Yep. Looting. There you go. All right. Quick HGC update. Teams are starting to get confirmed spots for BlizzCon. Congrats to Dignitas, Fnatic, Roll20, Team Freedom. You all made the cut. And shortest match in professional heroes history happened this weekend. A total of 5 minutes and 12 seconds. We talked about it a little bit pre-show. Damn, that's a fast game. Poof.
Yeah, on Warhead Junction, no less.
Yeah, that shocks me. I don't know why. It's because that thing's so damn big, and I feel like I have to run everywhere forever to do anything. The fact that they got that thing out in less than 6 minutes is jaw-dropping. They got to level 5
No, it was level 9 for roll 20 and level 8 for gale force.
Oh, why did I get that wrong? Oh, that must be getting my 5 mixed with the minutes. But anyway, yeah, that in fact, that's even impressive to me that they got to 8 in 5 minutes. This is a stupid short. We've never had one that short. Even just us goofing around, I don't think. Unless maybe, I don't know, did we ever do like a custom one with something weird?
I think we've had a 6-minute match before, and I remember us laughing about it, but I think even then, like, that's, I think, probably the best we've ever done.
That's crazy. It's insane. Anyway, so that's a thing. And
go watch it. Yeah. It won't take up much of your time.
No. Hey, you have 5 minutes? I got an idea for you. In fact, the commercials you were forced to watch before it will likely be longer than the actual match. Here's this! We have a couple emails today. They came to us at core@heroesforyou.com. That is core@heroesforyou.com. Do send them in. We'd love to read them here on the show. This was sent to us by Stephen H., who says, Dear Scott, Bo, John, and Martha, I know this topic has been touched on before, but ... considering how much legendary loot is available and considering how rare it is to get one in a loot box, do you think HOTS would copy Hearthstone's recent change and ensure any legendary loot received in a loot box will not be duplicated unless you own them all already? Thanks, Stephen H.
Hey, proof that I don't read the questions before we start the show.
Yeah.
We kind of already talked about it.
We kind of did. I mean, sort of. I mean, so there's that, but then also there's the Overwatch recent move to make duplicates way less frequent. I think we are getting to a place where they're going to have to do something about that for a lot of players anyway. So I don't know if it'll be this or it'll be some other solution or some unique solution to themselves. But I think the Heroes team is definitely in that territory of, you know, it can't be more duplicates. That does not feel good, especially if you're buying boxes. And despite the buying changes, I mean, at some point, if you have everything, then what are you getting? And I don't know. That's a complicated deal.
Yeah. Hearthstone's different because you need what's in the boxes to play the game, where you don't need it in Heroes or Overwatch.
Right.
Like, I think that's why the policy makes sense there, because you're like, I'm a happy customer. I'm spending $100 on packs only to get the same legendary 5 times in a row, so I can't play the game properly, even though I've paid a ton of money. Whereas here, I'd rather get duplicates so I can get shards instead of opening some legendary, some citrine or green version of a skin I already have that I don't want. Shards are, I'd just rather get the shards in a lot of cases, because that way at least I can choose. Because legendaries half the time give me like a horse I don't want or a legendary coloring I don't care for.
One of the normal horses, so. Just different colors. Those are boring. I don't like this.
Yeah, like I've contemplated just putting down enough money to get like 200 boxes. The reason why I can't is I don't have enough gold to justify it. And open up all the filler so that future loot boxes are just duplicates all the time. So then I'm just getting shards when I'm earning them.
Yeah.
Because like it's disappointing. Legendary! Oh, Citrine Zagara. Great, I used my luck on this nice skin but crappy coloring.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We need dyes like in Diablo. We need dye items.
There you go. Speaking of dyes, there's no transition here. Andrew wrote in. He says, hello, Scott Bojan. It's all one word.
Hello.
Listening to this week's past episode, you guys are talking about apps and websites and blah, blah, blah.
We covered blah, listener. Blah, blah, real in depth.
Super in depth. A whole episode dedicated to the blah, and the blah. Wouldn't it be sweet, he says, here in if like in WoW, there were HOTS add-ons. For instance, maybe an overlay that shows useful info about each ability, like damage or healing. Maybe you could do something like you were saying, light up your typical build as talents become available. Maybe even auto-pick talents for you with some kind of built-in keyboard shortcut and a timer or something. I don't know. I just get someone to start, or just get someone to start making it. Either way, whether it's not made or not, I love the show, and thanks a lot for making that. Smiley face Andrew. All right, smiley face Andrew. Part of me likes the idea of a moddable interface, but I think it'll never happen for two reasons. One, I don't think Blizzard's going to give enough access to make enough meaningful mods and have that be an active scene. Whereas in Warcraft, the API for Warcraft is pretty deep. You can make just about anything. And even then there's some rules. But in the case of Heroes, because it's primarily a competitive game and you're not tracking the kinds of stats you necessarily do in Warcraft, they're going to give you very limited access. So because they're going to give you such limited access, it might be less work for them to improve UI over time than to invest in an entire moddable system in the game. Just my take. What do you guys think?
I remember the first time I watched a WoW PvP streamer and was shocked to see all the add-ons used to cheat at playing Battlegrounds. I was like, I use a vanilla client. And I was like, oh, wait, I need like 10 add-ons that like indicate whether a healer is close to dying. Like, it's cheating. There's add-on, like, and I feel like it's permissive in that environment. I'd hate for the doorway to be open to a competitive space. And I actually think that's important that all competitive games close the door on it, unfortunately. Mm. Love the idea, but not in the competitive space. I think that's got to be.
Wouldn't you rather see them work on your custom map idea anyway? Like your, you know, tools to build your own maps and build your own modes and stuff like that seems like a way better use of that time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even, you know, we have a lot of people in the community that are fans of making skins. Mm-hmm. It's not without precedent that other games have had avenues for artists to make custom skins through an approvals process.
Right.
That too.
Yeah.
Like that would be also be great. Let Scott design a skin and work with a 3D modeler and have him earn a bit of money on a Frogpants skin that might one day be there. Sure, you know,
why not? He'd be like a frog, not Pepe though. Hey, John, how about you? What do you think of this idea of mods?
Bo is exactly where my head is at on it, but I would say that I wouldn't mind Blizzard getting into maybe a loot crate item being different customized UIs that we can change. I mean, we've talked about different loading screens for the game. They could do custom UIs that they like putting crystals and colors on things, maybe a different UI for elemental and things like that. Like, I think that they could dive into that. I also think that it would benefit greatly from like Dota 2's coach mode, where you can actually have a coach in the game with you who can draw on the mini map directly, which feels like a bit of a cheat, but it's a tool they use to have players help other players get into the game. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see something like that in Heroes as well. So yeah. I kind of would like to see elements of mods, but Blizzard created and Blizzard controlled for the exact same reasons that Bo doesn't want it opened up.
Yeah, I agree. And so my thinking would be I would pay real money for like a StarCraft interface pack that would include like a separate Protoss, Terran, and Zerg reskin of the UI. I would pay for a WoW reskin. I would pay for Diablo skin, Overwatch skin, variations on those, or make those part of drops, like you say, out of loot boxes. That would be really, really cool. And you're only talking about just a package of art that they've already got cataloged out. Like, that's the way that stuff works anyway. So they just have to give us interface mods, and I would totally pay for those. I'd buy for those. Or I'd pay money for those. I'd buy for those.
I'd buy for those.
Oh, I thought you said I'd bife those.
I'd bifurcate them. I'd cut them right in half. It's there's possibilities there, but I think we're all in agreement. This is just a different animal than WoW, and there are days I wonder. I'm always of a couple of minds on WoW mods. I've actually cut way down on that. I'm playing WoW a lot right now, and I only use one mod, and it's a World Quest mod to just sort of make that part easier because it's kind of my daily thing in there. But I don't use interface mods anymore. I don't use, you know, button bar management stuff or any of that anymore. The vanilla thing just is fine now. They've gotten it to a point where it's totally cool. Even bag management is all built into the bags, and I kind of am used to it, and I don't care anymore. So part of me thinks Blizzard would rather that not exist. But then again, some of the improvements they've made have been based specifically on other people's mod ideas. So you do miss out on some cool community ideas that you could then implement. But in this game, in this environment, you know, same thing with like Overwatch. Like, could you say to Overwatch, hey, I want to have a thing that tells me where all the snipers are? No, they're never going to let you do that. So what are they going to give you? Frame rate, freaking how much damage you've done the whole match. You know, maybe there's some stat stuff that would be fun, but they can do that on the web. So yeah, you're not going to get it. Anyway, thanks Andrew for your ideas. If you guys have your own thoughts, feelings, things you'd like us to discuss on the show, you can send those to core@heroesforyou.com. That's core@heroesforyou.com. We're going to go play some games. So we're out of here. Heroesforyou.com is our website. You can find us there. You can also join us in game by typing /join and then the word frog pants. Make sure you put a space between the join and the frog pants. And you can join us and other listeners. Find people to play with all the time. Great community going there. Core at heroesforyou.com. I mentioned that before like 8 times. Oh, and on Twitter, Core Heroes for the show. John_Jagger for John. Bo Schwartz for Bo. And you can find me at Scott Johnson. That's going to do
no
it.
No shapeshifting.
No shapeshifting, according to Taronda. Or as I've heard people lately on some of the streams say, Tarondi. What's that about?
Tarondi.
They need to stop doing that. It's not Tarondi.
It's a popular mispronunciation of the word Taronda.
I guess so. But I don't like it. Tarondi. Come on. Anyway, good luck with that, everybody. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next week. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
You hungry?